The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It is an incredible day and wonderful to see her smile. And, of course, Brittany coming home. But Monty Jones, kind enough to join us. Bo, great to have you with us. Always the right time. And, of course, our girl, Chinee Ogumike. Chinee, I'll start with you. Your reaction when you woke up this morning and heard this great news.
Exactly what Sherelle, Brittany Griner's wife, said. It's gratitude. It's truly gratitude. Waking up to this news was special not only for her and her family and Brittany, but for the extended sports family that has had compassion, that has had empathy for what Brittany Griner has gone through the last 10 months and 294 days. And to wake up to the visual of President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and Sherelle, Brittany's wife, standing there saying that our fight was worth something, that Brittany, her representation, particularly as a Black woman, was worth something, worth fighting for. To me, just, I'm still extremely emotional because, you know, this is a situation that has been near and dear to us, particularly, you know, me as a current player in the WNBA and our extended family. And to be able to see that this has come to fruition truly has been remarkable.
Go ahead, Bomani.
No, it was positively shocking. I mean, we had reached a point where you had just waited for so long and it didn't seem like there was anything that was going to push it in either direction. And you hear she's going to be in for 9 years. And then once she got shipped off to the penal colony, I think it took on an entirely different gravity that people could like deal with the idea of sitting in a jail cell. That sounded terrible. Being in a penal work colony, that was a whole different ballgame. And I think for a lot of people, when that part happened, it landed in a way that was different than even it had before. So to see that it had actually happened, and it's not like it was we were sitting here watching touch and go. They handled this rather privately so the world didn't know and finally actually got it done. Like, it was just, this was what we would call in this country a miscarriage of justice, but in other countries, it's standard operating procedure. And so for us, this was so shocking and so terrible to see happen, but to finally see this injustice taken care of was wonderful.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments. I mean, there's nowhere to go with this, but you know, to say relief, gratitude, what have you. You got to give props to the Biden administration for getting this done. Obviously, we'd be remiss in neglecting the fact that there's another American citizen over there that's been incarcerated for 4 years, in Paul Whelan. I saw his brother on CNN this morning. He was class personified.
Yeah.
He was happy for the Brittany Griner, you know, Brittany Griner and her loved ones. He was definitely happy that she's coming home, but in the same breath, he highlighted the fact that, you know, my brother's still there, and they're doing what they can to get him out. And it was made very, very clear, according to numerous reports that I read this morning, that the Biden administration was pushing for both of them and others to get released. Mm-hmm. And Russia made it very, very clear. It's Brittany Griner for the arms dealer we've had incarcerated for 11 years and in custody for 14 years. That is the only deal on the table. That is the only deal that is going to be discussed. And it is that or nothing. So the fact that the Biden administration did this before the holidays, after she had been convicted and sentenced to 9 years, and she wasn't incarcerated for 4 years, for 11 years, or anything like that, there should be incredible, incredible relief.
Yeah, and I also think, speaking of class personified, Sherelle Griner using her platform to say, hey, while our family is breathing a sigh of relief, we understand that myself and our family will continue to advocate to help try to bring others, including Paul Whelan, home that are wrongfully detained. And I think that is emblematic of what, you know, I know personally within the WNBA family. We not only play the game at a high level, but we try to use our platform to advocate for others because we are a league that is predominantly full of Black women, almost 80%. We also tend to have our college degrees, and so we've seen the power of our platform, you know, whether a lot of people took note of it in 2020 when it came to the elections, and now we're seeing it happen once again in 2022, the power of the collective, of, you know, a league and also our Players Association and Brittany Griner's team and her family, everyone that cared, stood up, said her name and said, this is important. It shows that her representation simply by existing, particularly as a Black queer woman, it matters. It's worth fighting for. And I think that that is the come home moment where Sherelle used her platform to not only say, I am happy, but also we will continue the advocacy. That is something that I always tell people, you know, the WNBA is not new to this. We are true to this. And it just was seen, you know, by the entire world.
Absolutely.
Well, not just
sure it'll
that
be
you're
their
not
life's work
it.
Moving forward. Go ahead, Bob.
Not just that you're not new to it, we're really good at it. Like, I don't think any group of athletes is better at mobilizing behind the cause and getting something done than the WNBA has shown itself to be for the last 2.5 years. Like, it's something that I'm not the first person to say, but you really can't say it enough. And the way that you saw people organize and push and seeing the logos on the floor and everything else, nobody's better at doing these things than the WNBA.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback on that, Sherelle, during this time period, the darkest period of her life, graduated from law school. So that will only help in the fight. So yes. Congratulations to her on that, too. A beautiful day. Couldn't be happier for their entire family. All right, we'll leave it there. Chinee, thank you so much for being with us.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bo, do you think that, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Prime is taking too much criticism for taking this Colorado job.
Well, I don't think that he should be taking criticism for taking the job itself. I don't think there's anybody in the position that he's in that wouldn't take that job. You got one thing I think that is often forgotten is most black college head coaches will be black college head coaches forever. It is very difficult for them to move up, not forget about the FBS level, to bigger jobs on the FCS level. So I think anybody could understand why it is that he would take the job. What has happened, though, is that in taking the job, it makes some of the rhetoric that he offered when he went to Jackson State in the first place, and it puts it into a different light. And so if you said when you got there that your plan was you are going to help level the playing field for HBCUs, he knew as well as anybody else that was something that was going to take a lot longer than 3 years. Like, if that was the plan and that was what you wanted to do, then you can understand the criticisms people had of him taking some of these other interviews and everything else. But the problem with college football is you can't tell the world, hey, I'm only going to be here for a little while, because you're asking for kids to sign up for 4 years. So on one level, he played the game that just about everybody else plays, but he attached a nobility to it when he got started and made it sound like he was doing it not really just for him, but for something larger. And then when the money came, he went and took the money. I would have gone and taken the money. I just wouldn't have told you in the first place that I was trying to do something bigger.
Well, I disagree with you, because I think he has done something bigger. But before I get into that, let me say this, you know, and it's a challenge for me to debate this brilliant brother right here. I got a lot of love for Bomani Jones. By the way, y'all need to check out his show on HBO. And by the way, one of the great, great interviewers. Bomani Jones is a special brother. Forget about his podcast at the right time in the podcast. But I just wanted to give my man love, because he's doing great work. I got a lot of love and respect for him, and I just wanted everybody to know he's big time. Let me say this before I even go in further to retort what you had to say, Bomani. Let me direct this at Eddie Robinson Jr. for a second, the coach at Alabama State, who's been known to go at primetime Deion Sanders on a couple of occasions. He ain't swack and all of this other stuff. My brother, please, please, please chill with it. Yeah, you might not like him. Yeah, you know, primetime Deion Sanders, you know, personality might be in a quiet taste. You are the son of the great, late Eddie Robinson. 408 and 165 and 15, I think his record was. Like 17 SWAC championships. Put more than 200-plus players in professional football. More renowned, more celebrated of a coach than any coach in history. We're talking about the great Eddie Robinson Sr. I know you don't like, you know, some of the things primetime. You went to Alabama State on an academic scholarship. You're an exceptional man. I have no doubt you'll do a good job at Alabama State. But just pump the brakes just a touch, all right? Because the fact of the matter is, what you're being known for now is your criticism of Deion Sanders, more so than you're being known for being the great man, the great mentor, the great leader and coach that you are. I just wanted to say that, Bomani. Now let me get back to you. Here's where I disagree with you. You're primetime Deion Sanders, you're coaching in HBCU. Like you said, you're not knocking him for taking the job. But you talk about what he talked about going to Jackson State for. As an HBCU grad, and I know you went to an HBCU as well before you went to Duke, the reality of the situation, he has done a lot for HBCUs. Not just because he won, not just because he validated the bravado that comes associated with primetime, but also because of the attention he brought. When you see HBCUs being played on national television, how much does primetime have to do with that? That's a lot. When you see guys transferring from his program, they're scheduling them to transfer from his program so they can go to Colorado. You don't see that too often where an HBCU athlete gets to go to a Pac-12 school, a Big Five school. We're seeing that right now. When you talk about the facilities and the money that he's going to have available to him and what he's going to be able to attract there and the opportunities that it's going to create for brothers in the coaching fraternity, who he obviously is going to bring along with him. That goes a long way. And more importantly, because of what he did on the HBCU level, well, that sets the stage for other coaches at the HBCU level who are usually stuck in those situations to potentially elevate themselves. I think when you think about the eye of the storm that has come upon HBCUs, not just as it pertains to players, but as it pertains to coaches, I'm not saying he has everything to do with that because the effort is ongoing. It never ends. We understand it. And it's been going on a long time before Deion Sanders arrived at Jackson State, and it's going to continue to go on a long time after he's gone. But there is no question when we think about the job that he did at Jackson State and the attention he brought towards HBCUs, he has been a huge, huge plus. And I don't think based on what he said his goals were that he deviated from that in any way, because what he set out to accomplish, he accomplished at HBCUs to some degree. It's always a moving element there, Bomani, and I get that. It never ends. But he's done a lot. He really has.
Yeah. Well, this is where I disagree. One, I do think he set out and achieved the goal that he wanted, which was to get a job like this. Like, I think that was primary goal.
Well, he wanted Florida State. Remember that? He wanted the Florida State job.
Right. But he did not get into this to be a black college head coach. He wanted to be a Power Five coach. And I don't blame him for having that ambition. But the goal of going to Jackson State was to go there and then get to another place. And he managed to pull that off. Yes, HBCU football is being played on national television. They've been playing the Bayou Classic on national television for basically my entire life. At least 25, probably closer to 30 years they've been
doing that. I'm talking about the attention. I'm not saying it wasn't happening. I'm talking about the attention.
Right, right. But you said specifically, and I've heard other people make this point about when were HBCUs playing on national television. They've been playing the Celebration Bowl on national television since before Deion got there. I think we're giving him way too much credit for a lot of work that other people had already done to elevate HBCU football. The other thing that I question is, how much of that attention was really about the macro of HBCU football, and how much of that was about the singular star power of Deion Sanders? I don't see Tennessee State and Eddie George on national television and people talking about it all the time. I don't see – I'm saying these things aren't Deion's fault. Yeah, I'm just saying that I think that we overstate what his actual impact was on something larger. I think that this will likely be looked at as a moment. But when you say he's giving these guys the chance to go to Colorado – yeah, they're his guys. I don't think that this is going to open the door for more of them. I don't think it's going to open
the door. We don't know, but it's the best chance.
We don't know, but I don't think he's going to open the door for this. And this is a point I've made about Deion that's important. He spent 35 years letting us know that he's Deion Sanders and we are not. The idea that you're going to go find another Deion Sanders. No. They just made one of these. So I don't think a foundation has been laid that's going to change the landscape of black college football so much that we come back and be like, man, thank goodness for having Deion. It was a great run. He got what he wanted out of it, but we don't have to make this more than it actually was. We could even be happy for him getting this job. But I don't think that he really HBCU sports as other people
Let me respond to you, my brother. I would challenge you on that again because here's where I'm coming from with it. You're right from the standpoint that, again, there's only one prime time. We got that. We understand it. And he has spent a vast majority of his life letting us know there's only one prime time. That's a very accurate depiction of how he can be because he lets you know he's one of a kind, for better or worse. And damn it, he is. I mean, he ain't like he's lying now. And I get all of that. I understand that. But it gets to a point where, bottom line is, the door has to be open, and then it's up to somebody else to help kick it in as well. There's only one Bomani Jones. There's only one Stephen A. We're going to do what we do. We know what role we play. We know we come from HBCUs. We know what our history entails, et cetera, et cetera. You do what you can. You show the way. And then it's up to others to do that. So, again, it's a never-ending process, and we understand that. But the point is, we need to apply that to Deion Sanders. The fact is, he went to an HBCU. He won. He showed and displayed bravado while doing so. But in the process of that, he didn't just talk about me, me, me. He also won, and he also shined a light on some of the things that we needed to lament that exist within HBCUs. Some of the things that need to be changed, some of the things that needed to be changed internally, some of the things that outside sources need to step in and help facilitate change in that regard. He's pointed these things out. It wasn't like he was there and he was being silent about a lot of things that have been going on with HBCUs
What kind of things are you talking about there?
Well, I'm just talking, listen, it could be broadcast networks. It could be the NFL and its participation. I speak to Troy Vincent. I spoke to many people within the NFL that have praised primetime Deion Sanders and his assistance towards bringing attention to HBCUs and how the NFL could play a better role in that. There's a plethora of things that we don't have time to get into, but Deion Sanders has played a role, is what I'm saying, in assisting in that regard. And I think that you got to give him credit for that.
No, I think it's fair to say that he played a role, but I think there are other ways that he carried himself in that job that I find that people, especially people around Jackson, have room to be critical of. And this is something I want to bring up because I haven't seen mm-hmm. this talked about enough. But this, to me, was the most unseemly thing that went on. When he did that press conference at Colorado, he made it a point to point out the low crime rate there. While he was at Jackson State, you may remember that time where he thought his stuff got stolen, and then it turned out somebody put it somewhere else. He came to the press conference immediately after the game. Yeah, we won the game. Good for the players. But my stuff got stolen. And a lot of people in Jackson really were resentful of the way that he kind of made this place seem like this crime-ridden place that he couldn't wait to get rid of, that I think did quite what I would consider to be a disservice to that city and to the school that I think did a lot for him. I also find it to be very interesting that up until this point, I have not heard what one would expect to be like the over-the-top, hey, thank you for Jackson State, because I would not be able to do these things that I have done so far if it were not for Jackson State. He hasn't done that. And I can't understand why he hasn't done that when in his introductory press conference, he gave credit to the athletic director at Colorado for wanting to reach back to Jackson State. He wanted to make sure that we knew that that athletic director had given him credit, and was getting credit for wanting to reach back to Jackson State. Why haven't we heard that from Deion yet? Right? And maybe that's coming later. Maybe that's coming down the line. But him standing there after the championship game, looking like he was in such a hurry to get out of there and run out of there, the talk that he gave to his players that was broadcast instead of doing media availability, there have been ways in his exit that have not demonstrated that he had a great deal of respect for the conference that he was in. And I, as somebody
who grew up in that conference, he might not have, Bomani, but that doesn't take away from his contribution to the conference.
It doesn't take away from his contributions, but it does raise the point whether or not those contributions were actually secondary to what he really wanted, which was to improve his life.
I don't have a problem with that. What you're interpreting and how you absorb that, that is perfectly within your right to do so, Bomani. And a couple of things, like, for example, I didn't see the whole Colorado press conference, so I'll take your word for it. I'm not disputing anything that you're saying. And I definitely remember him pointing out
How the hell could this happen? I just got here. I'm prime time. And you know what? This is a big, big deal that we're here at Jackson State and we're trying to uplift this program and I'm getting robbed. Well, guess what? It didn't happen again. What you're doing is you're pointing to the, and you're right. And I thought he was right in doing so. You're highlighting this kind of stuff shouldn't happen. And damn it, we need to call it out. That is not an indictment against the university. It's not an indictment against Mississippi. It was an indictment against, yo, we got to pay attention to the kind of stuff that's going on and we got to look out for one another. I didn't have a problem with that, but I will tell you this, and this is a very important point. Once again, while your points are very valid, that does not take away. You could talk about the bravado. You could talk about the attention to me. At the end of the day, what did he do? He won, and in the process of winning, he brought attention, more attention, to HBCUs. And I think that that is an incredible thing to pull off. He's not the only one who's done it. He wasn't the first. He's not going to be the last. But I don't see any shade to throw on his actions. You could talk about, okay, you know, he's a bit narcissistic. You can say that. You want to say that, that's fine. But in the end, he exceeded a lot of people's expectations, not just in what he did on the field, but the attention that he brought to HBCUs. And I think that is something we should all appreciate. The man did his job. He did his job.
No, we can appreciate him, and he did a good job, and he seems to be building a very interesting staff at Colorado, and he has a chance to be successful as a black head coach in FBS in ways that others have not. He got a tough job because Colorado, they've been sorry for 15 years for a reason, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's not going to be the easiest job for him to do, but I don't think anybody wants to or is trying to make the argument that he didn't make any contribution whatsoever. I do think, though, that we're operating with an almost messiah complex and giving him too much credit for some things that were actually done by other people and that other people have put in work. These have been a really good 2 years and change since he got there. But I do think that there is room to criticize the way that he exited that school. And I still think that somebody should bring those points to him. And I'll be curious to hear what he has to say about those things when he actually gets around to saying something about those things. He's had everything to say to Colorado and nothing to say to this black college that we say that he did so much to uplift.
Well, you say messiah complex. I think the situation is clear. Before he arrived, and it's not to say that nothing was going on, but you've got programs throughout this land at HBCUs clamoring for more attention, more notoriety, more recognition, et cetera, et cetera. And they were not getting it, even though their efforts deserved it. I brought up Eddie Robinson Sr., God rest his soul. The bottom line is the most celebrated coach in history. He was lamenting in the past what was happening with HBCUs and how more help and more assistance was needed. Primetime didn't go there and just coach a football team into a winning record of 25-27-5 record and an undefeated season that he just had. He didn't just do that. He made a concerted effort to bring attention to HBCUs. And if it had to come through him as a vehicle, so be it. I think sometimes we look at the big picture and sometimes we're micromanaging and we're dissecting things to such a degree that we find a lot of things that may not need to be there. I'm not saying he was flawless. I'm not saying he was perfect. I'm not even saying some of your points, most of your points ain't absolutely valid. I'm saying in the grand scheme of things, it's a small nugget compared to what he achieved on behalf of himself and on behalf of HBCUs. And I know personally, it was his intent to do everything that he's done, good and bad. He's going to be him, and that's the bad part in some people's eyes. But the good part, those were his intentions. He wasn't there just to win. He was there to affect lives and affect HBCUs. And I don't think anybody associated with HBCUs can deny that reality. And that is what I'm pointing to. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Nothing more.
I got you. But do you understand this point from me and people who feel this way? Yes, you can say that he has done these things for HBCUs generally. You could definitely say he did those things for Jackson State. Why isn't there more about what those institutions did for him? Talladega College, which gave him the degree that he did not have and needed in order to be a head coach. That happened at a black college. Getting this head coaching job without any experience as an assistant. It was a black college that did that for him because, you know, Deion ain't trying to be nobody's assistant. As Peter Tosh said, Jai did not put Ty in here to be a backup singer, right? They gave him a stage that he could have for himself, and he leveraged it, and he did good things for himself. He did good things for them, but those places also did a lot for him. And I wish that we heard a bit more about what the HBCU did for him and not everything about what Deion did for them.
That's fair.
Bomani, it's a riveting conversation, and I hate to cut you off, but I'm told you have a heart out. I just want to make one correction really quickly, guys. We had research verify Eddie Robinson Jr. is not related, Alabama State head coach.
I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
The legendary Grambling State coach, yes, Eddie Robinson Sr. Well, of course, the name similarity. So I just want to make sure I say that. And I also want to mention, as far as Coach Prime, he still plans to coach Jackson State in the Cricket Bowl. That is against North Carolina Central, December 17th, noon Eastern, Cricket Celebration Bowl, excuse me, on ABC. Yeah. Okay, we got it all in there, though. Yeah. You got that.
That mistake on my part. Is that Eddie Robinson Jr.? I thought about the great Eddie Robinson, my bad.
Okay.
And watch
Bomani on HBO. Yeah. And he still, of course, has his podcast, The Right Time with Bomani Jones, with us here at ESPN. Bo, appreciate you always. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
Monica McNutt. Monica, good morning. Thank you for being with us. More so, good afternoon there in New York. Your reaction when you woke up this morning and you looked at social media and you turned on your television and you saw the president announcing this?
Good morning, Molly and Stephen A. My reaction was relief and almost, is this actually happening? I mean, just this week, a T-shirt arrived at my home from the Players Association, the WNBA Players Association, keeping Brittany Griner on our mind, something that we could wear. And I remember looking at it and thinking, like, this isn't a fashion statement. Like, this is someone's whose life is hanging in the balance. And so this morning, now I'm looking at that shirt very differently and that we can celebrate that she is coming home. Someone asked me yesterday, what's one of the things that you'll remember most from 2022? And sadly, this is the thing that came to mind, how unusual this circumstance was, how my heart ached so much for Sherelle, her wife, and of course her family, but then also how I was educated about the other Americans that are still being held in Russian prisons. So I'm so relieved. I'm so happy. I am very grateful for the Biden administration. I have tremendous admiration for Sherelle Griner and the grace and the poise that she has displayed. I, like you, Stephen A., saw Paul Whelan's brother and was impressed with his grace and composure as well. This has been truly an educational experience in many, many ways. And so I'm just so relieved that she's coming home.
So am I. Obviously, we all are. And we're incredibly grateful that it's worked out this way. Keep in mind, it's not just that she's coming home. She's coming home inside of a year of being detained, inside of 5 months of being convicted. And so when you take that into consideration and you look at what the Russian government led by Vladimir Putin could have done, we should be incredibly gratified. Our hearts go out to the Whelan family.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Paul Whelan is being detained. He's been, he's been detained for 4 years. And he was recently on the record this morning, quoted as saying, I'm still trying to figure out while I'm sitting here. And to listen to his brother, mm-hmm. David, on CNN this morning exemplified the level of class, how happy he was for Brittany Griner and her family and loved ones, while at the same time lamenting the fact that his brother is still being detained is something that we can't forget. And so, again, she's mm-hmm. home. She's on her way home. She's safe and sound. And she'll be fine because she's surrounded by love and support. But obviously there's somebody else that's being detained. There are others that are being detained. And you're going to look at it from that standpoint in the days and weeks to come. You're going to hear how there's an arms dealer that was in jail for 11 years and was detained by the United States for 14 years that has been let go so Brittany Griner could come home. And so as a result of that, you're going to have people talking about a lot of stuff. But in the end, we're happy that she's back. Yeah. That she's on her way back, that she's healthy, that she's going to be okay, and she can move on with her life as an American citizen. And it reminds us, no matter what we think or how we feel about our country, because Lord knows it has its problems, and there are things that we have to resolve. There are some places that are considerably worse.
Some places?
Many than the United States of America.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because we need to continue to pray for the others as well, even though it's celebratory for Brittany today. Yes. And I know she'll be a part of the fight moving forward, bringing more home that were wrongfully convicted alongside with her wife, who just graduated from law school. So congratulations to her on that, Sherelle. Monica will be back with us. We're going to take a quick break here, guys.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
WNBA champion head coach Becky Hammon back here with us. And, of course, newest member of our team. Great to have you. Can anyone stop the Celtics right now from winning it all?
I don't think so. Not right now. The only people that can stop the Celtics are the Celtics. Mm. And that's because their mindset and their buy-in factor. So if they lose that, they become obviously beatable, but you got two young stars obviously entering their primes. The game gets, you can tell, it's just slowed down for those two.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're committed to making the right play. And once you have buy-in from your two best players of just making the right play, you're seeing them have games of 8, 9, 10 assists. That's huge because it really keeps the defense honest. And at the end of the day, I look at it, I talk about reading. Yeah. They're great readers, and Golden State has always been the best readers in the game, in my opinion, of what's my defense doing, and making reads. And I think Boston now has come into that conversation of being great readers, and also adding really great pieces around them, whether that be shooting, mm-hmm. Or just brains with Derek White and Brogdon. I'm really excited to see what this team can do. And we haven't even seen them full strength yet.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I started off the season confessing to basketball royalty here that I was thinking Golden State and Brooklyn. I haven't jumped off that Golden State bandwagon yet because to me, call me crazy, coach, but I'm of the mindset that Wiseman, who was in the G League, I'm thinking about a 7-footer who can play. Mm-hmm. And that Steve Kerr is just a genius. So he'll figure it out. But I'm looking at Steph. I'm saying if Klay gives you what Klay can give you when it counts, which is postseason, he ain't got to worry about back-to-backs. It's a different animal, mm-hmm. especially when Jordan Poole coming off the bench, even though some people think he should start, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not jumping off that bandwagon, but if anything could get me to jump off the bandwagon, it's these Boston Celtics. I think Boston might win it all. I'm looking at them right now. Jason Tatum is clearly my MVP. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about others. And recently, I was talking about the way Anthony Davis is going on that 9-game roll before he's out with the flu again. Don't get me started with that. I mean, damn it. I'm saying just when I was high and excited, he misses the game with the flu. Okay, and then him and LeBron both miss games in Toronto. So there's no chance at the time of the year they get to see him, and neither of them play. But that's a different subject for another day. In the end, Devin Booker was looking spectacular, and then he goes up against Boston last night, and they get slaughtered. Mm-hmm. Slaughtered. They were up like 98, 55 or something like that last night.
45 at one point. Yeah.
Jason Tatum is averaging 30 on like 48% shooting. This brother is trying to make amends for the finals. Right now, the Boston Celtics should be the favorites to win it all. Number one offense. And they're 12 defensively, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
And that's without Robert Williams. He ain't even back yet.
People doubted this with the coaching change as well and didn't know how that would affect things with this Boston team. But right now, they haven't skipped a beat. Would you say this is the best duo in the NBA when we're talking about Jalen and Jason?
I think without doubt it is. Yeah. The way they're playing, the level, it's translating into W's. And at the end of the day, winning takes care of everything, and they have this factor. They got this chemistry, and I go back to you got two stars, really, that are entering the prime of their career, and the game is now starting to slow down for them. And they understand that the unselfish, the make the right play no matter what, is what's going to get you the goals.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to break.
She knows better than me.
Becky Hammon, great to have you with us. All right.
Thank you.
An honor.
We'll
Thank
be right
so
back.
Much.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know, Stephen A., we had breaking news today, hijack our show. I've never had better breaking news than this, that Brittany Griner is returning home, and I just want to get your final thoughts here.
You know, I just think that it there's several things to peel from it. The first thing is gratitude. Gratitude that she's coming home, healthy, safe, sound, is going to be in the arms of her loved ones, her family, her basketball community. And obviously, I think about the people who are still there, wrongfully detained by the Russian government. And it just reminds me that, you know what, America, regardless of all its troubles, you know, there ain't too many places you'd rather be than the United States of America. And I think that one of the things that we need to remember moving forward, particularly when you're traveling internationally, just know everything you can.
Yes.
Know everything you can. Do your homework.
Vigilant about it.
Yeah, because you have a lot of people who have resentment, and you have a lot of people who have ulterior motives and will use whatever means necessary to get to what they want. She was a victim of a political
pawn. Anybody.
And she was.
Absolutely.
So thank God she's coming home safe and sound, and I hope Paul Whelan is next, along with various others who are being wrongfully detained.
Yeah. And couldn't be happier for her family.
Yes.
You will be without me tomorrow. Are you going to be okay?
I don't know. Hold on.
Bye, guys. I'll see you Monday. Hope
to
see you tomorrow.
How am I going to do this show without Molly?
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.